Healthy-ish is recorded live from Lankford Studios in Cedar Hill, Texas. Welcome to Healthy-ish, an educational podcast that navigates love, life, and everything in between. I'm your co-host, Prissy, and together I will be joined with Dr. Key, a relationship intelligence expert. Join us as we tackle some very controversial topics and stories. Due to some of the sensitive discussions regarding relationships and domestic violence, we advise listeners to use caution while listening. Hey, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, I'm going to be discussing with our host, Dr. Key, the relationship and intelligence expert, about the fairy tale.
Hello.
So with all that out of the way, Dr. Key, why don't you go ahead and take us in today?
It's definitely good to be able to share. You know, we always talk about love. That's the caption of our whole being in terms of the show. We're talking about healthy relationships and what love mm-hmm. has to do with that. And it has everything to do with it. So each show, we highlight a different song that we grew up on or that was very significant in the culture of especially R&B, which is the predominantly the African-American community. Which is where a lot of people look for romance and love. And so today we highlight the songstress Anita Baker and her song, Fairy Tales. Anita Baker highlights how she was told certain things about what to expect. Well, about love, right? And what to expect in love, you know? And she's told, you know, he's going to come up on his mm-hmm. horse and he's going to save her and he's going to take care of her. And she started living real life and that never happened. That happy ending never happened. And she's like, this guy was going to come in, slay dragons. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was going to have an S on his chest, right? He was going to calm the stormy sea. You know what I'm saying? She was thinking. I mean, she was expecting godlike features, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the reality was she felt like she was in a wilderness all alone, right?
Right.
Her story's ending. The story's true. Reality stepped into view. Mm-hmm. And now what? What do I do? You know? And in truth, when we look back, looking at life, a lot of us are like right there saying, hey, no fairy tales. What do we do? You know, where to from here? So she's telling us, listen, don't look for pie love in the sky. Don't look for these fairy tales because they catch you up, right? They get you to looking for something that doesn't necessarily exist.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I remember first hearing that song in college and I thought, ooh, this girl is on to something. I remember being at that place. I remember being right there. No magic potions. You know what I'm saying? No wings to fly. No poison apple, my destiny mm-hmm. to die. I mean, I remember that. That was so prolific for I've been sold. I think it was Malcolm X, Wooden Nickels, you know, we've been led astray in terms of preparation for what is to come. What are your thoughts about that? Do you think mm-hmm. that you were prepared for love and relationships as a child?
I certainly don't think so. Mm-hmm. I thought a lot about mm-hmm. The whole princess fairy tale, like we see in the movies, mm-hmm. the Disney princess movies, and, you know, the whole, the white picket fence, you know, and just, I believed in this whole happily ever after. And so it was definitely a whimsical fairy tale. And that someone was going to come and rescue me in a way, on their, you know, this knight in shining armor on their horse coming and taking me, you know? And so I continued to have those ideas, you know, even through into my early adulthood. And it took me having to realize, that actually that's just not, that is not real. It's, and even, you know, it's even given young girls that do watch these Disney princess movies, false hope.
And that is actually what real life is like. With those that, didn't have the protection that they needed as children, you know, and were violated, and assaulted, you know, betrayed, you know, in the news this week, a young lady in Dallas, killed herself after killing her daughter. And I think about that, and I know, and it, with the history of working with people and studying people and working with family violence victims and teaching criminal justice and studying people with in sociology, you know, behaviors, I know that lady had a history of violations. I don't know her. I've never met her, but I know she's had a history of disappointment. You know, and she, her daughter ultimately paid for all those disappointments that her mom experienced. And man, it hurt me to my core when hearing about that, because we're in a society that allows these things to perpetuate themselves. As much as we say we care, unfortunately, you know, we're very intentional, deliberate society about what we want. And you see it, you know, coronavirus hit, and when it became an apparent important topic to us, commercials were out, everybody was putting signs out. And so it that let me know one thing, that we could do something about what's been going on in our lives, in our society for hundreds of years, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. We could do something about those things. And so when we are allowing people to be victimized and hurt and not make them aware of all the resources that are available, or not make them aware that there is support available, it just, it hurts me to my core. But obviously this was the epitome of the worst when it comes to the fairy tale turning into a nightmare, right? But it happens. And I don't mean to go dark, but it really does get to that place. And I would be just like mainstream if I don't talk about that. That is one of the important reasons that we should talk about why it is important to love, why is what to look for in a relationship, why parenting is so important, you know, when dating, because we need to make sure we protect our children, looking for someone that's going to love us and honor us. Because truly we can be happy by ourselves if we're not going to have someone that's going to love us and honor us, you know. No, there definitely won't be any pies in the sky in terms of every day you'll be laughing and giggling and your heart, you know, beating 100 miles a minute, and you're not going to jump at the phone every time they call and all that. Now, that kind of stuff, it typically subsides, but the appreciation for one another shouldn't subside. The respect for one another shouldn't subside. The desire to help one another should always be there. The desire to uplift one another should always be there. The desire to build something together and leave as a legacy for your children, to teach your children what life is all about, should be there. And I tell you, in most families, those discussions are never had, you know? And so I just wanted to take a moment and talk about something that we think is self-explanatory, and so much so that we don't talk about it, but nobody's getting it, you know?
So why do you think, you know, young women, I mean, even young girls fall into the fairy tale delusion or the idea? You know, what do you think it stems from? And, you know, just, and it's almost like at some point they wake up out of that fairy tale and realize that that's not
real. That's the ideal.
And then it's like, look at what I got to deal with.
Who doesn't want the ideal? Who doesn't want someone to love them and take care of them? It looks so sensationalized on television, right? So it just doesn't look like anything that anybody would turn away from. But when you look at today's society, a lot of the women are not necessarily, I don't even think some of the young girls, especially in the millennial age, look for the fairy tale. I think they're the opposite. You know, they don't look for a guy to, they don't expect a guy to take care of them. Oftentimes I see in today's illustrations of relationships, the women are willing to take care of the guy or invest in the guy, you know? And
right.
Right.
So you think the fairy tale has changed, this or the narrative
because
in the fairy tale has changed, it's flipped.
It talks about what a relationship was, what she thought a relationship was supposed to be like. But many of us were taught different things, right? That was her narrative, but my narrative was even different. My mom never taught me to expect a guy to take care of me. My mom taught me through her daily work to take care of myself, you know? I was taught to just, you know, be able to, if, you know, take care of myself. In fact, most of the men that my mom had a relationship with when I was a child lived with her. So it wasn't that I didn't know how they took care of the bills. I don't know if they paid them once they got there, you know, but most of them moved in, and if they had their own house, they had their own house. But she was not going to move with them. There was only one time that we moved with someone, and that was for 2 or 3 months. That was like over the summer. She was like, I'm going back home, you know. So independence was what I was taught. But when I was thinking about getting married, I started inquiring with people what their thoughts were. And I heard some of the some amazing one-liners, you know. What were some of the words of wisdom you received?
Okay.
Did you receive any?
I would say that growing up, you know, dating was a bit of like a taboo subject in my home. So the conversation was just not there at all. So I had nothing aside from what I saw in front of me between my mother and father and how they carried on in their relationship. And so I took a lot of those cues in terms of, you know, what should I expect later on in life? And even from, I had a much older brother. So he married kind of early on. And so I also took those cues, but there was nothing that anybody ever told me, really in my own home. Now, my brother's then wife at the time, she did say things to me, and really a lot of unhealthy things about what to expect in a marriage, or in a relationship. Like, for example, one of the things that she told me was, don't ever marry a Black man. That was one of the things that she, you know, verbally said to me as a young girl, but no real explanation as to why she was saying that. But she would always make those remarks, you know, which never really made a whole lot of sense to me growing up then. And I just really pretty much just learned that really the woman is submissive, just by looking at everybody else, in their relationship or around me, that the woman is submissive and the guy is the one that's pretty much, on the receiving end of all of that, you know, and the male sort of, plays more of a powerful role in a relationship.
And now a brief word from our sponsors.
It was my brother's wife at the time, okay. And she had to have been early 20s, maybe like 21 or something like that. So she was pretty young. Oh, okay.
Was she
really just discovering herself too at the same time?
Oh my God! How much was she saying about your brother?
Yes, she was African American. A lot, if you think about it, because who would make that type of remark? You are already married, right? But you know, you make that type of remark to a young, impressionable, little girl who's several years younger than you. You know, I didn't really get what she meant at the time, but I did sort of take on the attitude that men, and maybe even particularly men of color, are more of a dominant. Mm-hmm. Party in a relationship, and women are meant to be more submissive in a relationship. I had a very cultural existence growing up, and so I thought a lot mm-hmm. of that was because of my parents' culture, because they're not from America, so I didn't realize mm-hmm. that other families had the same sort of dynamic. So you know, my mother, she was doing all the cooking and the cleaning, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. she used to even iron like my father's clothing for him. And mm-hmm. You know, she was just a very submissive wife. And my father was just someone who mm-hmm. mm-hmm. did not mm-hmm. return those same mm-hmm. favors, if for a better lack of words. And so I had this idea of women being almost like indentured slaves in their relationships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My mom did work, yes. So, yeah. And then my father had periods of time where he did not work, you know, but his earning capacity was well over my mother's. Mm-hmm. He was highly educated. So, you know, there was this mm-hmm. sense of, mm-hmm. you know, who had more power maybe in a relationship, and, you know, who was, mm-hmm. You know, who should listen to who in a way, you know, it's just like he had more of the education, he had more earning capacity. So it was like he had all the power, and, you know, she just went with what he said. And so my brother's relationship sort of mirrored that in a way. And so mm-hmm. I sort of, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. not necessarily anyone directly saying a lot of things to me, but I just figured, well, that's just the way marriage is, or
I got
how
you, I got you, because that's your norm,
like,
right?
In a way.
And see, that's what, and that's what we typically will get. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard to, it's really interesting mm-hmm. because we don't have the conversations about it. Is this what everyone is? Is this the way it's supposed to be? Is this what I should look forward to? Or is mm-hmm. this what you've chosen? Is this comfortable for you? Are you happy with this? Is this what you like? And we even have Haley here with us today. And Haley, feel free to join in and add any input you'd like to mm-hmm. about what you think you should look for in a relationship. Do you have any idea of what is to expect in a relationship?
Hello, everyone. Hope all is well. Can you hear me okay? Great. I was
going
to say, based off of what Dr. Key already mentioned, my perspective and viewpoint on a relationship, I feel like it should be a balance. As stated in the previous episode, 50-50. Mm-hmm. But you do not want the man to be doing womanly things either, and you don't want, the man doesn't want the woman to be doing womanly things either. Woman to be doing manly things mm-hmm. either. So it does require a balance mm-hmm. to be clear and
roles to be clear.
the roles to be clear. You don't want to get the roles mixed up, and then you don't want to overpower, you know. Just I want it to be like an equal balance role. Like, and it's not necessary to say that only a man can do a certain thing or only a woman could do a certain thing. It should be a balance. Like, if something needs to be done, you know, do it, go ahead and step in, you know. Just in case one person one day decides, you know, okay, I'm sick with the pandemic and stuff going on, so many crazy things going on in this world right now. People losing their jobs, and you just don't know what the other person is going through. I just feel like the other person should always be ready to step in, especially when you're stepping into adulthood with a person and having kids and exploring the next step of life with that person that you call your mate.
Yeah, well, that's pretty healthy. That's a pretty healthy expectation, I think. And I'm happy to hear that because, because there's a balance. Because I think when I was growing up, I was expecting a guy to kind of try to, I was prepared to handle my own, but I was looking for a guy to kind of out. That's the ideal, right? That, somebody could take care of you, and I. Be the accent, I can take care of myself, but if you can help me and handle me, that would be ideal, right? But to hear someone say that they expecting someone to be to share in the responsibilities and the respect for one another, that's good. And then and because that because then that's the opposite of a woman feeling like she has to do most of it because she doesn't think it's any men out here willing to or able to do, or they can expect any more from a man, which is the worst thing you can ever do, is to expect less, right? You have to understand your value and worth, and you have to stick to that. I cannot emphasize that enough. One of the things as a single person, I pride myself on and is and it and you know what? A part of it is I grew up in a beauty shop where I was around a lot of older women. So I heard some of the stuff that was going on back in the day when I was a kid. So when I was a teenager, I was well on top of the game. I knew the games that they played, that some guys would play. And so I fell into a couple of traps, but then I thought, oh, I see. Okay. So it made me so much stronger in terms of how not to allow that to happen. And one of the philosophies I developed was if they're going to respect anybody, it's going to be me. So what I do is if they're not going to like you, there's nothing you can do about it. But if they're going to like you, they're gonna come back. They may say, they wanted to be intimate. And I, as a younger person, I say, I'm not gonna give you my tail. And that's, oh, but that was the other thing. One girl when I was in middle school, she spent the night at my house, but she was very promiscuous, right? And so a guy she was talking to on the phone, may he rest in peace. She was actually talking to Roy Hargrove, a guy that was an international trumpeter, and he passed away this past year, so may he rest in peace. But they were talking on the phone at my house, and she was saying, they were laughing and talking, and she said, "Well, you broke up with me," and he said, "Well," and I said to myself, "Now she gave him some, and he broke up with her. I've never gave none away, and ain't nobody ever broke up with me, so I'm keeping my stuff."
So really, in reality, he thinking he's still warm.
That's exactly right. So I said, I'm not giving it up, and then they go and break up. See, some people think they give it up and they keep them, but really, you don't give it up and they come back. And I've had that I had that coming back. People wanted to come back if they, they'd be like, oh man, I can't wait on her, and they leave, and then here they come back. And so All I'm saying is that you got to hold on to those standards. The worst thing you can do is not have high standards for or expectations for what you desire in life. When I was growing up, I never forget this lady said, you always marry somebody that love you more. And I just want to just fact check that because I thought, that's not a bad idea. So what that implies is if you marry somebody that loves you more than you love them, that means they're gonna always want to be around you. They're gonna always do more for you because they love you. And you like, oh, whatever, okay, no problem. They can go with their friends and you'd be like, okay, bye, see you later. But if you love them more than you always calling them, where you at, when you coming home, what you doing, and they like that to you, whatever, go on with your friends, have fun. So it's better for the woman to have somebody that loves her more so she's not hounding and harassing him,
Or vice
smothering
versa.
him, smothering him.
Or vice versa, because it can definitely be vice versa. You do not want
That's what I'm saying. So when she says have a man that loves you more, he's hounding you. And I have learned that is definitely
Okay.
not a good thing.
She wants to kind of be like
Because you got to live
mutual.
with, you got to have it mutual. Very good, Haley.
So, like, one of the things I've learned is, like, consistently mutual, like it's a balance of
That's
that.
right.
So if it's not overly anything, it's like a balance of consistency. I told one person, like, look, I want you around. Cool, you know, we have the same mutual feeling of one thing that's overly, that's it's like one,
Thing in common, compatibility.
yeah, one part of the recipe that makes a relationship work, but it's not all of the sample that we want
Oh, what's
for a
that part?
continuous
What's that one
relationship,
thing?
affection, perfection. But that's not what continues a friendship or relationship. So the what continues a friendship or relationship is, you know, a balance, a complete balance of mutual consistency, and that's being around companionship, friendship, and someone you can actually rely on for other than intimacy or whatever the case may be. So.
Yeah, because they turn into a bugaboo. It's like, where you at? What you doing? You're like, man, would you let me breathe, please? So it definitely needs to be mutual.
Right, so it just can
It needs
backfire.
to be mutual, you
And then
know?
that's when you gotta cut them off.
You know, I don't want to be with nobody that's gonna get on my nerves, you know? So yeah, I do know that in the beginning of the relationship, I actually can say this. You want to know, don't expect it to be just perfect because, I mean, don't think it's a bad thing if it's not perfect at the beginning because that gives you the idea of whether it's meant to be. So if you can overcome those obstacles at the beginning, then that means that you got enough desire and love for one another to make it through the relationship. See? So that fantasy stuff is just one way it could happen, but it doesn't have to happen that way every time. I've heard of people meeting, and there's a couple that lives down the street from us, and they're like 70 and 80 or 75 and 78, or they've been married 70 years, so now they're 80 something. They've been married 70 years this year, and the way they met was he was dating her friend, and they broke up. You know, so
I've heard of that too. Like men will get with you and they say, or some men are saying that it actually they'll convince you that intimacy is actually prolongs a relationship or is the best way to keep a relationship. And I'm like, no, that is definitely not true. Tell that to someone else
oh
that doesn't
yeah,
know any better.
that's game. That's
Like,
game. But you
yeah.
know, so you just don't know. I wouldn't try to put a fantasy on it. I would just take it day by day and take it really slow. I wouldn't try to read anything into it. I would try to get to know them, see what we're compatible in, what things we have in common, what their values are, if they want children, if they want to retire, if they, you know, if they want a house, horse, whatever. You know, you got to find these things out, what their life history is, what they how they grew up, you know, because a lot of people grow up in ways that will affect the way they think the rest of their life. And the other partner is like, what the hell is wrong with them? And then they go saying they're crazy, and they're not crazy. They just been through some things, you know. And so you just kind of have to get to know people and don't run from, and I will always say this. True love is going to get you through challenges. Relationships that have love in them are not challenged free. Challenge is going to come whether you have love in it or not. Whether you survive the challenges is what's going to tell you if love is there. You get, does that make sense? If there's no love there, you won't overcome it. But if you have love there, you will overcome it. Does that
Something I want to speak towards the fairy tale thing that I was told or that I read or heard somewhere is that you know, when it comes to that whole the Disney princesses or the movies or that programming that young girls or young women receive, it's one-sided because generally those are the ones that are viewing those movies and getting those messages, and young boys or young men don't actually watch those things. So the women are getting the programming or the conditioning and men are not. And so there's like this disconnect at the same time in terms of the fairy tale. So it's more likely, or it seems that that women are more so getting the fairy tale and men are not, you know, they have a, that's why they have a completely different idea of how to go towards a relationship or how to sustain one or how to get, you know, there's a lot of, more so one night stands initiated by them, or maybe like what is it, friendship, friends with benefits type relationships, you know, because they have a very different view on how
And
relationships ought to look.
that's why those expectations have to be there. Because if you don't bring them to the table, they won't be on the table. You know, if you don't
Yeah,
have
that's
any
true.
type of idea of what a standard needs to exist within your life, people will run in and out of it as much as you allow them to. And so, yeah. And you know, it's just like I always use this as an example for our clients, but it applies to everyday life, just like standards. You know, if I got $1 million in my purse, I mean, maybe I just did a had a contract. Signed a contract and get a $1 million deal somewhere. And when I leave there, I'm going straight to the bank, and I'm going to come home and celebrate with my husband and family. I'm not going over a friend house. I'm not going to the store. I'm not going to the mall. I'm going straight to the bank with that money. And you know, this is a message or a note to self about how important I would treat myself and that check that I have in my purse. Well, this I am that chick. I'm that $1 million. If I wouldn't go over to a friend house with that $1 million, then I shouldn't go without that $1 million because I am the $1 million. A lot of the things that we do, we do them without valuing ourselves, is my point.
It's like it reminds me of this pandemic. I was talking to my aunt not too long ago, actually a little while before this. But we were talking about how we normally live. We said how our normal life, our family's normal life, is exactly the way these rules are normally set up for the pandemic. It's not anything outside of the norm, like visiting with family, going to the grocery store. That's our normal thing. Now we might go to the mall every blue moon, or Six Flags every blue moon, but other than that, our family is our livelihood. You know, it's not. But some people can't wait to go to the bars and clubs. You have to put your
Yeah, that's
precious
true.
joy in moments inside of your family first, or inside of you,
Yeah.
so that the other person can find that same thing within you. Otherwise, the thing they won't find no value in being with you. You don't find no value
That's
being
true.
with yourself
Correct.
first.
I agree.
So it's like, what's the worst to when it's the other stuff if you can't appreciate the value to rush to what you have.
It's true. It's true. And so, you know, with the fairy tales, I mean, I just want people to know what to expect. You cannot say one thing or the other in terms of how the story will begin or end. Everybody's love story will be different based on what life has in store for them. You can't expect, I know a couple that married a couple of months ago. Beautiful story, beautiful story. They went to college together. They graduated from the same college. They both working, had the most magnificent wedding you ever want to see. And pandemic hit, now he's laid off. You know, you're going to go through challenges, but will they get through it? Absolutely, because they have love. And if you don't have love, you won't withstand the challenges, because challenges will come to everyone, to everybody else looking on the outside that doesn't know. They probably think their life is perfect. It's not everybody's business anyway. But everybody goes through challenges. There's no one that escapes this life that lives any long period of time that doesn't have any challenges. And so we just kind of have to dispel the myths about this fairy tale. It's good in theory, and it's good for establishing standards and expectations of what you want, but it's not good to box yourself in and think this is the way it has to be, because everybody's story and life's path is different. And you never know what life will, you know, will serve you. You know, you may be down today and then bloom like crazy 2 years from now. Who knows? But we just have to be of good faith and good courage. As Haley mentioned just a minute ago, take the opportunity to love yourself, get to know yourself, and enjoy yourself. It's funny she said that, because in my life coaching session with a young man yesterday, he actually called because he and his girlfriend broke up, and she was trying to leave, and he was telling her to stay, and so she called the police telling them that he wouldn't let her leave. So he just left and went to the backyard, and she left. Well, when you get the police involved, that means it's time to let go. I mean, the police should never, ever have to be involved in your relationship, ever. Anytime you have to call somebody else into your relationship, that means, besides a counselor, then that means it's pretty much y'all lost it, right? So he calls yesterday for the second session, which I'm so proud of him for doing this. And he says she's called back and she's sorry and she wants the relationship. And I said, I understand, because he's happy. Right. Mm-hmm. He was happy that she was apologizing. Isn't that something? And I understood him being happy. They have a 3-month-old and he wants to be in his child's life. She sent him a message saying that she's enrolled in counseling. And so now she's starting to go to counseling. And I said, that's a very good step. But that's not the end. And I told him, I said, listen, when people want to leave, you let them. If she wanted to go with her mom, you should have let her. You never hold people hostage. You never tell people no. And I said, if you enjoy being by yourself, please take this moment to get to know you, love you, and enjoy you. Because he rushing because he don't like to be by himself. And I said, as long as you don't like to be by yourself, nobody else will enjoy you. So when she said that, that's exactly what I told him yesterday. Those are the last words I gave him. So his responsibility right now is to not rush back to that situation but to get to in knowing and enjoying himself and loving himself. Because he's not going, and I don't want him to do that, you know, to get back in that relationship. I told him the first step to, that's her finish counseling, right? And then they may think about it, you know, but right now is not the time. But the reality is, if you tired of you, other people going to be tired of you, you know? So yeah, that was very profound, Hayley. Thank you for sharing that.
My question for you, Dr. Key, for the gentleman. So he asked, did he ask God to send her back to him? Or
I'm sure he did, because he missed and loved her.
Okay, so, and I seen a post recently on social media, and it said, and it's kind of somewhat related to one of y'all can connect it to.
Okay.
But it said, God, if you send me someone, please don't let me, you know, turn around the person you called to me.
Mm-hmm.
But is that, I don't think that's the same as you asking for God for someone that you already had to come back.
Yeah,
and he sends them.
Right. So yeah,
and you keep them, like, in a sense that.
Right, but it was too. It's too toxic because he is a young man, 28. He has had prior cases where assault, family violence had been, and he's actually a. He wants to be a surgical tech, and now he's a sump tech. So he's working his way up.
Mm-hmm.
And if he gets another case, he may be out of here. And so it's just not worth the risk.
Okay.
So he can ask for her to come back, but they both need to work on themselves before. And that's my thing. I don't think that it has to be that they'll never be back together. But they both have broken pieces based on our conversations that I didn't get into here, that they need to work on before they try to make a whole. It just doesn't make sense.
So you know it when it's from God, when he sends it to you.
You will. Because that's the thing. If it's of her, then she'll get herself together and he'll get himself together, and then they'll still be available. No need to be anxious.
Will it be a new person, though?
It could be.
Or will it be a whole person?
It could be. See, that's the thing about God. I hear people coming about God. You can tell God you love someone, to send you somebody to love, but you can't tell him who.
No, I was just going to say that.
Go ahead, Priscilla.
I did it and it didn't work.
I was just gonna say that not just because, or I'm gonna use this young man and his you know, his girlfriend, his ex-girlfriend, whatever, not just because she called him back does that mean necessarily that was the sign from God per se. It could just mean that she was calling him back, if that makes sense. Because if you're asking for God, right, to send you someone, you know, like you mentioned, it could be somebody else. And honestly, if she returns back to him and that relationship continues to be toxic, then you'd then have to ask yourself, was God really trying to send that to me? And I would think that the answer is no. I don't think that God would be sending some toxicity your way, you know? And so, you know, he missed the sign at that point, you know? So I maybe even missed the opportunity for the right thing to come into his life, because now he's occupied with a toxic situation, you know? So maybe that, exactly. So maybe God said, because you know, God's not necessarily answering to the young man. He's more so maybe even sending a test to the young man. He's just like, I'm going to give you what you want in your time, in my time. You know. So I mean, there's a number of different ways to look at that situation, and don't only just have to be that. Well, you know, the answer from God, so to speak, if that makes sense. So.
Right, because we can't, he'll give us a test before we get the actual, what we need to see if we can handle what we truly want. So
but also, just like Dr. Key is saying, I mean, you know, it's also the relationship, the way the relationship is flowing. It has to be healthy. So it could be that, you know, that person could think, well, this is what God is sending me, but
remember the signs, you know, think about the whole idea of the fairy tale. You know, is this what I'm supposed to be experiencing? You know, okay. Is it positive? Is it healthy? You know, and if it's not, then you have to say, this is not what God sent me, you know? So I think, remember, not just one, but the whole picture.
Right. Mm-hmm. Is this what I want or is this what he wants?
And I'm going to tell you, I've had people tell me this over and over. If this person is not for me, God, mm-hmm. please send them away.
Lord, I don't even ask that no more.
Or they'll say, if this person is not for me, don't let them call me no more. That is not going to happen.
Oh, yes, it will. Lord, it happens so fast. Lord Jesus.
Right. Sometimes it won't happen that way. Ooh. Sometimes he gives you the strength to do not let answer the phone. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what I mean. So, you know, so you got to understand this. The mm-hmm. Lord does not test us. The enemy mm-hmm. tests us. The enemy sends temptations your way. The way that I put it to the client was, the enemy is sent here to distract and destroy you, right? So what if it was the enemy that sent her to call you back and say, hey, I see I didn't destroy him. I see he still have a little life in him left. Let me go and do the rest of him. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Let me go back and destroy the rest mm-hmm. of him, because he still got a little life in him left, right? So we say these things. We're talking to God, but the enemy is talking to God too, saying, can I try him? Can I test him? I bet you she gonna fall. Mm-hmm. I bet you she gonna go for it, just like he did Job. So you have to understand that you got to say, is this what is going on with us? Is this aligning with what God wants? If it's not aligning with what God wants, mm-hmm. I know God is not sending this person my way. Mm-hmm. And I know that they have not fixed it that quick. You get what I'm saying?
And then you can ask it for confirmation. And if they say no, bye.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, these are the things that we have to know, because when you're out there on your own, it's hard. It's hard because everybody out here is trying to avoid pain, right? Nobody wants to be hurt. So nobody wants to be vulnerable. But here's what you lose when you don't marry. And people don't want to talk about it, but we're going to close out on this. Marriage mm-hmm. is important. Marriage provides stability. People that live in neighborhoods that have high marriage rates, they live longer because the wife looks out for the husband, makes sure he's exercising, eating right, going to the doctor. He may not go to the doctor, but he's going to make sure that if he has a wife, she's going to make sure he goes. If he's not taking medicine, she's going to give him the medicine he needs. They have sex regularly without him having to risk getting some diseases, right? The other thing is they have two incomes most of the time coming together. Most times they're eating healthier. The neighborhoods the children grow up in are safer. They tend to accumulate more wealth. Have higher income, want more out of life. So these are the things that we offer to our lineage, which are our legacies, our children, when we choose marriage. When people don't marry, I'm going to tell you, there have been people that have been dating men, living with men, anybody else. They mm-hmm. still married. Yeah, they just mm-hmm. separated.
Oh, yeah.
And they've been married. And to that other person for 10, 15 years, and they left them, and they live with this other person. Well, guess what? When that person die,
that money go to that other person,
that person that they married to. And guess what? That other person makes the funeral arrangement. So that other person can say, you don't get to come to the funeral, you don't go to ride in the funeral car. and you don't get none of nothing he had.
And
this is what I'm telling you. So these are the benefits. I mean, you don't get no benefits to to this person passing away. And the person that bury him can put him in a dress and some lipstick if they want to. See, this is what happens when we don't take care of our business. You know what I mean? And so we have to understand they we allow people to say it's just a piece of paper, but that's a lie. It's a commitment to honor and love and respect and cherish me. And that's what I, that's my standard, and that's what I expect. That's what I'm worth, and that's what we're going to do.
I have a question.
Okay, real quick.
Most men or women get involved in those certain types of relationships, long-term relationships? It could be both because, you know.
What you mean? Like married to a, I mean, in a relationship with a married man? Most oftentimes, traditionally, it's more married men having a relationship with a woman. But lately, it's been a lot more women that are separated, but they have relationships with other men. But it's traditionally, it's been more men.
What is the problem cause? Is it because of the kids?
Well, people don't divorce because they don't want to deal with the pain, or they want to have, they want to have those benefits in case the person dies. Like if they were in the military or they are social security, or I know a lot of couples right now separated, been separated 10 years.
Well, what gives them access? They still doing it or something?
Oh, well, Haley, I don't know. So with that note, I know Miss Prissy, we're about out of time.
That's a long note. It gotta be something.
Yeah, maybe they think they're gonna get back together. I don't know. But you know, some people think it's costly. They don't want to go through all that. I don't know. But to the person that is not to their advantage, I don't know it, why they would stay.
What is she asking? Are you asking the type of man or the type of woman that would, you know, be involved in those kinds of situations?
She's saying, why would a man, why would a person want to stay in a marriage if they're not together? Like, why would, what would provoke them to want them to stay in that if they're not together, but they're still married?
Oh, like a separation?
Yeah, especially if both of them are getting into another relationship.
I think there's some benefits. Like, I think maybe you mentioned that there are some benefits to not being completely divorced, and there are some financial aspects of it. And then, like you said, some people later on down the line think they may reconcile, you know. So it's like, you know, some sort of, and some people intentionally go on these trial separations where they want to see how they're going to do, you know, if they're separated. Will they miss each other? Will they, you know, can they work on the relationship? Can they salvage it before they, you know, go ahead and, you know, do the official thing? My brother was married. He got divorced officially and then moved back in with his ex-wife and lived like married people for several years. So, I mean, people have the most interesting, you know, lifestyles. I would never encourage that. But like I said, some people do. They have, you know, this tumultuous up and down, and apparently they can't live with each other, live without them. So, you know, it's all kinds of stuff, you know. It's
And you know what? I know several couples that are separated, but they've been married and they stay together, but they're not together, right? It's like they're separated, but they're still married. And I actually find that it's like a vow of loyalty. Like, I may be separated from you, but I may be separated from you, but you still get everything. You know what I mean? Like, we may not have made it, but I love you and you still get access to everything. You know, I do know.
Yes. And there's some interesting dynamics that people live with.
Mm-hmm. But they built us.
Did that answer your question, Haley?
It's on my desk when you put it. Remember, you put it on my desk drawer Haley? On the.
Is Haley still there?
Haley.
Yes.
Say it again. We were disconnected. Say it again, please.
No, I just wanted to know if that answered her question.
Did that answer your question, Haley?
Oh, yes. It absolutely. It okay. definitely did clear up some stuff. I know people do play mind games and do get deep, especially mm-hmm. after you miss people or get used to people. Mm-hmm. That's why I asked those certain questions about, what was he? Asking God for to send someone back and mm-hmm. miss after you being with someone for so long, missing them and not really having that full relationship that you deserve. You don't want to shortchange yourself under any circumstance. So I just want to put that out there and reconnect all of that. That's all. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for joining us today, Haley.
You're welcome. I've listened and we'll be sharing many more of the podcast sessions and hopefully be with you guys soon.
All right. Thanks so much for sharing and joining in.
Okay. Well, Dr. Key, do you have any final thoughts that you want to share as a final reminder before we close out today?
Yeah. And let me just say this in final thoughts. My husband and I met on a cruise and it was a wonderful experience because as a kid I looked at Love Boat and I loved seeing those people meet on that boat as strangers and getting off as lovers, and I actually had the opportunity to experience that. I'm a hopeless romantic, watch love movies Hallmark Channel every day because I think that it can happen, but you have to open your heart up to it. But I also know that when we came back to Dallas, we had to deal with the reality of everything. It was not pie in the sky. We had to deal with a lot of decisions that we had already made, a lot of things that we had going on in Dallas, and it was difficult. It was not easy. And we often wanted to quit and give up because we didn't know if it was going to be possible for us to sustain our relationship. It was risky. It was scary because we didn't want to be vulnerable. We didn't want to be hurt. But we could not give up on it. We could not, for whatever reason in our hearts, we just couldn't turn our backs on each other. We tried. We broke up several times. I wrote Dear John letters to him. I told him how much I loved him, but I didn't love him more than I loved myself. And, he was a great person and I enjoyed every moment with him. We did all of those things. We called ourselves writing our own blueprint, but we could never do it. I mean, there were days where we'd say, okay, this is our last date. All right. It's been nice knowing you. I enjoyed you. I mean, we would literally go through all this stuff. There were days where I'd say, okay, this is it for real this time. Seriously. And he said, okay. And then I drive off. And then the next thing I know, he said, what are you eating for lunch? You know, it was so hard. We went to a place where we went to a live music show they did on Sunday nights. Ricky Smiley did on Sundays. And it was so nice. We had a great time. And this was one of our last dates. And I, out of the blue, this guy walks up to us and he says, you love her, don't you? And he's looking at him like, you don't even know me. But the irony is, I heard about this guy and I knew of him, but I didn't know him. He didn't know me, but I knew of him because I had heard so much about it. And the guy would not let up. He would not let up. He just talked and so we knew it was divine that the guy was there to tell Oliver about how much he loved me. And so, needless to say, that wasn't our last date. And on May the 30th of this month,
with the 30th of this month, we will celebrate 11 years of marriage. And that conversation must have happened over 13 years ago. And I'm simply saying that it will not be pie in the sky. You will overcome a lot of challenges, disagreements, because you're merging two worlds. But as long as the commonality of respect, appreciation, and love is there, you can do it. If I had not been willing to be vulnerable, take the risk and trust God, then when my dad passed away, I would have had to endure that myself. My husband was right there with me every step of the way. And my dad was the love, first love, man. People talk about how I used to just, if I couldn't be with him, I would just put my foot on him to touch him when he was driving. That's how tight our bond was. And so to have him with me during that process, which really stopped my world, would have been devastating for me. I lost my brother. I lost my cousin. I've lost a lot of major players in my life since he's been with me. And I got to say that he has helped me through that. And our being together has been phenomenal. We've done a lot of work in the community. We've done a lot of things to help people. We have encouraged and supported and admired and uplifted one another. And all of that has happened because we took the risk of letting our guard down and being vulnerable, trusting God, putting him above everything to love one another. But the most important thing we did was we invested in our relationship by attending a dynamic marriage class. And that class put us on the same level, on the same pace, on the same platform, and gave us tools to work from so that we could grow and work together. And as a result, we've done a lot that we're proud of together. And so I just want to say he's lost a lot of loved ones that I've been able to help him process and grieve through. And so the ability to have love, true love, is not easy. It's not pie in the sky. It's not a fairy tale, but it certainly is worth it. So I encourage you all to invest in yourselves. If you need to, reach out to us, 214-870-4129. We are available. We want to help you. Invest in your relationship. You're worth it. Thank you so much, Miss Prissy, for producing today. Thank you, Haley, for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. And thank you, Haley. We'd like to send a special thanks to our supporters and for those listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a rating or review on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or Spotify. Have yourself a great week and be sure to join us next Tuesday on Healthy-ish.
Bye-bye.
Healthy-ish is proudly supported by Langford Avenue and the Avenue Proactive Resource Center. For more information, visit our website at www.enddomesticviolenceindallas.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter.